Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for clicking on to the podcast. Today, we're talking with MSU's Department of Native American Studies head, Dr. Walter Fleming. New digs there, pretty cool. Montana State's American Indian Hall, going to be dedicated this weekend. What went into this? I mean, it goes a long ways back, 2004. And how's it going to help the students and help the faculty and help the program move along? We're going to find out more here with Dr. Walter Fleming from Montana State University. Voices of Montana. Let's welcome our guest. As I mentioned, Dr. Walter Fleming is a department head and professor at the Montana State University Department of Native American Studies. And Dr. Fleming, thanks for being here. I can't imagine, the idea begins, and I want to talk about how it began 2004 and the process. But the current facilities, you're going from 1,100 square feet to 31,000 square feet. That's pretty dang cool, isn't it?
It's a major change, and one of the things that I suppose puts that into perspective is that, when we moved into that facility, the small space that we have in Wilson Hall, in the basement, so to speak, there are probably about, 25, 30 native students on campus, and now there's 811, and we just simply outgrew whatever facilities that we had.
Yeah, good. That's good perspective too. Why has the population expanded over that time? Well, and what is that time period we're talking about?
Yeah, okay. So I have to go way, way, way back when I first came in 1979, and I don't have enough fingers and toes to figure out how long that is, but it's over 40 years. And so there were there were 52 Native students on campus at that time, and so we've seen the gradual increase. But it's in part that the population, the Native population in Montana, is a growing population, and so the pipeline is pretty wide. We have number of tribal schools and schools on and near reservations that have. Native students graduating, and of course our task is to hopefully get them to come to MSU.
Talk then about, and I do want to get into this building because the design looks really cool, and there's a lot of people to thank because it just doesn't happen without the willpower of a lot of people behind it. But to go from 1979 to where you are today, 811. What does that say about opportunities for education and where are we missing the mark and where are we on target with it?
Yeah, I think what it is that people of Native people have recognized that there are other opportunities. And in the beginning, we were encouraging students to go into education because we direly needed teachers, Native teachers in the schools. And then as things went on, we recognized that there were other avenues in engineering, let's say, because there's a lot of infrastructure developing on reservations and the STEM fields, particularly because we do have a lot of health disparities on reservations, high rates of diabetes and other diseases. And so when students started then to look at career opportunities and educational opportunities, they started to look at what kinds of roles they could play in the future. And so when they chose their particular careers, it was, with the interest of coming back home and contributing to that environment. And so MSU has, excellent engineering program and has an outstanding pre-med program and nursing program. And so I think that's what happened is that people, Native kids, started to think more broadly about what the opportunities they had. So MSU has a lot to offer that.
Taught Native culture and history for over 40 years, the author of three books, Dr. Walter C. Fleming, department head and professor at the Native American Studies Department, Montana State University. One of those books, A History and Foundation of American Indian Education Policy. And that's, we're right up your wheelhouse here when we're talking about this specific topic. And I know it's a stereotype, but is education breaking it? Are we seeing that, the stereotype of staying on the reservation for our Native populations?
Well, I think we have two types of students, one who want to get an education in order to return and help their particular communities. And I mentioned nursing, for example. We have a huge nursing student population in nursing, and it's because they, you know, they recognize the challenges in health, and so they want to help. Then there are those other people who might be going into fields that you don't necessarily associate with a reservation environment. Let's say, you know, aeronautic engineering, not too many new opportunities back home. But what we always hear students say is that, you know, I'm going to go out and I'm going to work for Boeing or whoever, and eventually I'll come home, and because that's where they come from, that's where their family is, that's where their comfort level is. And so it might not be that they're coming back to work in a particular community, but rather that they've always, you know, considered that to be their home and will eventually come back to that. So that's, I think what we see mostly for our kids is that most of them come from Montana. About 70% of our native students are from Montana, and they're going to continue to live here or return here.
It's like the rest of us, for that matter. You know, if we can make it here, or we'll sacrifice to stay here because we have family here, we have roots here. And but if we have to go and make that source of money to be able to come back and help, I think that's real cool. Some perspective, because 811 enrolled at MSU and elsewhere across, maybe in Montana, are those good numbers?
It depends on how you define, you know, good and exactly what they should be. We know that about almost 7% of the state's population are American Indian. And so, you know, should the population of our in higher ed represent that? And so should we have 7% of our MSU student body be Native? And that would be somewhat of a challenge because, you know, our enrollment just keeps getting higher and higher. And so, you know, if we were to say 7%, I think we're talking more like 1,400 Native students on campus, which is certainly doable. It's just they have lots of opportunities elsewhere in the state and throughout the rest of the country. They can go to school anywhere. But we recognize that the actual pipeline is bigger than that, because when we look at the school population, K-12, and compare that to the rest of the state, it's something like 15% of the school age population in the state are Native. That is, you know, K-12. Mm. And so we know that the future looks pretty good in terms of the number of students who are graduating. Unlike for the mainstream population in Montana, the graduating seniors for the general population seems to be decreasing. So we look at that, and we try to make our presence known in tribal communities, because we think we have a good product.
Dr. Walter Fleming with us here, department head and professor, Department of Native American Studies at Montana State University. Got his PhD in American Studies from the University of Kansas. And there's quite a shindig going on here with this celebration on Saturday. I want to get into that here a little bit, as U.S. Secretary of Interior Deb Haaland's going to be here. Before we kind of do that, and the building itself, I mean, it's fun to talk about. But back to sort of, you know, what this means for Montana State and for our Native American Studies programs and our Native American brothers and sisters. How do you think this will encourage them? What does it bring to the student body, Doctor?
Well, I think the obvious question, or the obvious answer, is that it represents a home. And so, you know, we don't want to marginalize any student group. We want to make them feel like this campus is for everybody, inclusive. And so if we can find ways in which students can see themselves in the campus community, then they're likely to remain, and we want them to graduate. We want them to learn. And so what the building does in that, I guess, obvious way is it gives them a touchstone, a place that they can recognize. As we're not saying it's going to be theirs, because this is a facility that we're sharing with the state of Montana. And so, you know, we're hoping that people will use the classrooms because there'll be three. We're hoping that people will be booking, you know, meetings and conferences. And so we want to open it up for everybody. but most especially the design is obviously one that you know, people will recognize as native and want to be there. So we think it's going to generate a great deal of energy on campus, and we have to, of course, program what we do, and so that's just another task of making it come alive. The building needs to live.
We've gotten so, well, to use the generic and cultural phrase here, in our country, I mean, we've gotten so tribal in a lot of ways, and we're wearing our races on our sleeves nowadays. And I know, because I have friends who are in Native American studies or have been. What's the process for inclusion as this building kind of opens up new doors?
Well, we don't make any distinctions about identity, and so our philosophy is that if anybody comes to our door, we open it. And so even though we have students who might be enrolled members of a particular tribe, we also have students who are descendants from tribes. We have students who don't really know their ethnicity, but they want to explore what that means. And our philosophy is that, you know, we accept all of those people equally, and we want to share whatever resources we have. We want to share whatever knowledge we have, regardless of whether or not they have an ancestry.
I'm going to have to take a break right now, Doctor, and we'll come on back. But I appreciate that answer an awful lot. More about this new building at Montana State University with Dr. Walter Fleming here in a bit on Voices.
No matter how far you may go, there's always one just down the road.
Tell them who, pump it up.
Pump it up.
In need of some energy to get your day going? Your local town pump's got it. C4 Energy 16-ounce, buy two, get one free. And in the deli, taco snack burritos are only $2.99. Town Pump, convenient and right down the road.
Town Pump,
right down the road.
Pump it up.
Oh, yeah.
For a number of years, we don't want to say exactly, but a number of years, Dr. Walter C. Fleming has been at Montana State University in the Native American Studies Department. He's now head of that department. And through all those years, through many of them anyway, there was this process that began. Let's take it back to 2004 as we talk about this new Native American Hall that's going to be dedicated here this weekend with quite a bit of doing going on there. Oh, by the way, as I mentioned, you taught Native culture and history for 40 years, wrote 3 books. Here's one that I think I need to read, Doctor, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Native American History. It's one of those, oh, no, you didn't. But, yeah, it's probably needed, huh?
Well, the funny part about that is that, you know, it's now out of print, but one of the ironies is that if you look up now, if you look up Complete Native American Idiot on a Google search, my name comes up first. So I guess that's my legacy.
That's good. That's a sense of humor. I'm going to do that just for the fun of it. 2004. Take us back. And I mean, it seems like a long time, but buildings like this take quite a while to get the shovel in the ground.
Well, it started with an idea, and that was that came from Dennis Sunroads, who's an Arapaho architect who's done a number of projects on reservation communities, tribal buildings, and casinos and schools. And he was a graduate from Montana State University's architecture program back in the late 1960s, and he had a great good friend by the name of Jim Dolan, and people may know Jim Dolan as a local artist. He did the Elk and the First Interstate Bank across from the mall, and the geese, I think, in the airport. And so he's really well known. And so they were good friends in college. And after a while, Dennis was into his career, and he had just finished designing an American Indian student support building at Bemidji State. And he wanted to give back to MSU because he really came to age here and made some great connections and friends. So he proposed to President Gamble, Jeff Gamble, that he could take this building from Bemidji State and build that building at MSU because he had already planned it and had already been built once. And Dr. Gamble said, well, of course, you know, we want to do that, but we don't want Bemidji State's building. We want our own. And so that set the start in terms of working through a design that was unique to our community. And then obviously you have the fundraising challenge, which was at that point, it was $4 to $6 million because that's what in 20 years ago, that's what it would have taken to build a not nearly as big a building. But as time went on, you know, the additional costs increase and becomes more difficult. The target keeps moving, so it becomes then 8 to 10 million, 10 to 15 million. And I think we were challenged by that because we just simply didn't have the right, you know, right people in place to do the funding. And eventually, you know, things happen because they're supposed to happen. And we, you know, more recently gained traction in finding the right matches for our funding.
I want to get the design's real cool, and people should just go online. You can find it at Montana State University, and just type in the new American Indian Hall. American Indian Hall, yeah, that's the official name of it. $20,000, or pardon me, $20 million eventually.
Yeah.
There was some people who made some significant gifts. So I wanted to get those names out there, too, because it's just a way of saying thanks.
Yeah, correct. And you know, we start with the Associated Student Bodies of Montana State University who gave a nice gift. And so the students themselves of MSU contributed to the building.
Very cool.
And we had some wonderful friends like Elise Donahue, who since passed, and we certainly missed her, who had been a supporter of our program. And she's been, you know, she was very active locally in other fundraising. Jim and Chris Scott from First Interstate Banking System, and Jim has always been very supportive. Terry and Pat Payne from Missoula came through, and we're very pleased that Terry, you know, he helped fund the building at the University of Montana, the name that we shall not dare say. they're very supportive of education, higher education in the state, regardless of where it is. And so Terry and Pat, we're really thankful for. But the icing on the cake was that the Candida Fund came to our rescue, so to speak, with a big gift. And the Candida Fund, very very humble people, have a presence in the valley, and so you know we're very fortunate that we had some really really fine supporters. I always hesitate to give a list of anything.
I know.
Because
yeah.
You know you're going to leave somebody yeah. out, and Sherry Brown, and then of course the other people who sent in $50 and $25
yeah.
and you know I managed even to contribute, so you know it must be a good cause.
You're going to be contributing in a lot of ways too. I've run out of time here, but just to let people know, I mean, it's really cool that you're going to have the first Native American to serve as a presidential cabinet secretary there, U.S. Secretary of the Interior, Deb Haaland, for this grand opening ceremony. It's October 16th at the building site on the east side of campus, and that's set for 10 a.m. on Saturday. It's really cool. That's good work, Doctor. I appreciate
thank you.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. And tours to follow, so people will get into the building.
Nice. Good. Yeah. Take a look. Check it out. That's at Montana State University Bozeman. Dr. Walter C. Fleming. Thank you, Walter. Take care, okay?
Of course. Thank you.